more real fake facts from the Geek Out Heroes.
Real fake fact. Whenever you pop your back, you're actually breaking the back of another version of you in a different reality. Eventually, there will be only one.
I plan on being that
one. You ever notice, like, when you pop your back, you feel much better? That's because that fucker died.
Man.
You're taking his essence.
I must really be just plowing through all of the alternate versions of myself, because this is like a 4 or 5 times a day thing.
Yeah, I got to figure out, I'm probably running out in alternate versions of myself, because I'm starting to feel bad a lot. A lot of the time. So,
does that mean
if it's just me, then eventually I just, oh no.
Well, I was gonna say, does that mean maybe you're not on the winning side anymore?
That would suck.
Maybe yeah. Another alternate you cracked his back one time more than you.
I'll know that when I die. Yeah.
Damn you, other me.
If that's the case, alternate versions of me need to stop shoving their face into pollen.
Because you keep feeling it.
Yeah.
This is a real fake fact. Spring is really the Earth's way of just punching us in the face. Everybody keeps talking about how climate change is going to kill us all.
It's just a massive, massive dose of pollen.
He's getting ready to sneeze and just die. The happening will actually happen. M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong, right?
People are killing themselves just to avoid the allergies.
That, I'm going to look at that movie completely differently now. Like, I hated that film when it came out, so...
In 2011, a crack podcast unit was sent to Colorado Springs by a court of snowflakes for being too good for the rest of the world. These men, and sometimes ladies, promptly escaped from the world of monotony to the podcasting underground. Today, still wanted by the SJWs of the world, they survive as podcasters of no fortune. But... if you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to the Geek Out Heroes.
Welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
We hopefully don't have a whole lot to talk about because there hasn't been a whole ton to really that we want to talk about, to be honest. I think would be the correct way to say. But one thing I want to clear up really quick from last week's podcast. We made the statement that David Eddings was basically, you know, he left Gearbox and went to another job. Still sort of true. What actually happened was a little more in depth. There's actually a full article with an interview with him from Newsweek. If you guys want to look into the entire thing that's taken place and all the other things that have been revealed, other witnesses that witnessed the assault that happened, and you can take it for what, you know, for what it is. But aside from that, he was apparently after after everything had gone down from the events that took place, he was fired after he was apparently already looking for another job at the time, but which is why he picked up one so quickly. But he was fired out of anger for some of the events that took place. So, but if you're really curious about what took place, listeners, we'd highly encourage you to go online, look into it. There's actually look at the article on Newsweek. It's pretty good. It goes through and gives pretty good in-depth look at what took place between Eddings and Pitchford. So aside from that, the trailer for Batwoman dropped. It's the new CW show, so immediately I won't be watching it because I'm not their audience, and clearly fans of DC are not their audience because of the way they treat their DC characters. Josiah saw the trailer with me. Miles, did you get to see the trailer at all?
No, I didn't bother.
It starts out somewhat promising, but it quickly turns into, yep, it's just another CW show where they took a female hero and made it about how women are better than men, missing the entire point of feminism as a whole. So take it for what it is and watch it. If you don't want to watch it, I completely respect that because I'm not going to watch it. It's kind of a shame because Ruby Rose is really a talented actress. And I think she probably does play the part very well. Like I said, she's talented. So it'd be really hard for her to fail at it. So what else do we want to bring up?
Apparently, Robert Pattinson is being cast as Batman in The Batman. I guess it's supposed to be kind of a prequel movie. Either which way, I don't care if it was junior high Batman. You picked the wrong guy to play. Yeah.
Terrible casting.
Batman.
No offense to Robert Pattinson. He's a good actor, but a strong breeze could blow him over.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him being like a Teen Titan Robin, maybe.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
But I don't know where the thought process was for that casting.
Yeah.
So I see that one bombing pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, I liked your comment yesterday when we were talking about it. maybe I was getting you mixed up with like with Loach. I think he said how do you go from that to a disco ball? I was like, that's fucking funny. So,
all right. So apparently I'm the only one that's open to this idea. I don't think it's great casting, but I've heard he's a good enough actor on literally everything else he's been.
Yeah. He's actually a good actor. I've seen him in other stuff other than Twilight, and he's actually, he can act very well. So he has the acting chops. So I guess you can't really completely discount him because, I mean, we thought that Gal Gadot, a lot of people say Gal Gadot, by the way. If you've been saying Gal Gadot, it's incorrect, listeners. It's actually Gal Gadot. I've been saying it right the entire time.
Yeah.
So, like, we thought the same way about Gal Gadot. She, like, you know, because she didn't really look like she could carry the part very well, but she acted it so well that we were just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And that was what really mattered. So maybe he'll be able to pull it off, a young Bruce Wayne. But the downside is really the fact of is what I think you're getting at, which is trying to picture him older as Bruce Wayne, because when Bruce Wayne's older, he's big. He's not a small guy. Batman's never been small.
Right.
So like you try to picture him as like, you know, having, you know, 50, 60 pounds more muscle, and it just does, like, you just can't picture it. You know, not without severe, you know, steroids. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what they do with it.
Michael Keaton was only 5'9". Yeah.
But really? I thought he was like 5'10".
Yeah.
I had no idea he was that short.
But I mean, the suit makes up for a lot of bulk, but still.
That's true.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it's like the best pick ever, but when I read that, I was like, it could be interesting. I'd like to see where they go with it.
I think DC needs a win, and I don't think this is going to land them that.
Yeah, when I first heard about it, I thought he was being cast as a younger Bruce Wayne for Batwoman, like the TV show. That would have made sense.
Right. Yeah.
When I first saw that, I was like, oh, so is he being cast in that? But since you're saying he's being cast in The Batman, my guess would be that, yeah, it's an earlier version of Batman, like Batman Year One-ish, which is kind of strange because we've already done that. I kind of want to write to Warner Brothers now and just be like, yeah, we've done this, guys. We've done the Year One crap. Just like this was the reason why you originally casted Affleck, was so you could move on and not do that. But now you're going to do it anyways, because apparently retelling the origins of Batman is the most popular thing within DC when they can't get their fucking franchises off the ground.
Yeah. I do nuts. Like the unofficial confirmation of the guy that started opposite of him in the Twilight things. Was it Taylor or something or another? The werewolf kid.
Yeah.
Being Robin.
Yeah.
I was like, God.
Well, he's actually bigger than
I know,
be,
right?
That'd be weird because like he's actually pretty well-built guy. So. He would make more sense as Batman in that case. Why is Batman smaller than Robin? I don't get it. He's taller, but he's smaller. The other thing that's kind of strange is, to be honest, my first thought was he would make a pretty decent Joker, like a younger Joker, a better Joker than what they had Jared Leto do.
Right. Wow.
The real Joker.
Don't take much. Pennywise is a better Joker than...
Yes, this is true.
Jared Leto.
Speaking of which...
We got to see the trailer for It 2. It looks great. Doesn't look like it's going to be as terrifying as the first one, but you know, it's not really meant to be.
Well, especially the second half when they're adults, it's more of a thriller at that point.
Right. I'm still really looking forward to it. It looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was awesome. It was Goonies with a scary fucking clown. I'm totally sold on the second part.
Yeah.
So, listeners, if you haven't had a chance to watch it, go on to YouTube and check it out. It's actually kind of a long clip. It's more of like one of those, where they just release a scene kind of clip, but they use it as part of the trailer to kind of sell you on the creepiness and everything like that. And they do, just looks awesome.
Yeah, it was really good. It definitely, like, watching it, it made me, like, feel uncomfortable. Like, it's
things are uneasy. Yeah.
But I was watching it, I was like, holy shit, this is going to be really good.
Yeah. So, speaking of trailers, I watched, I don't know if you guys got to see it after I shared it, but Angel Has Fallen, which is the third in the Olympus Has Fallen films. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's got Gerard Butler back and Morgan Freeman's going to, playing the president in it. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Really, really cool movie. Kind of like The Fugitive, a little bit of a Fugitive vibe to it. Yeah, I mean, it's more of the same, but I'm okay with that. I'm looking forward to more of the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Gerard Butler kicking ass. That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
It's action for the sake of action.
Yeah.
If it's like the other ones, it'll be pretty entertaining, though.
Yeah.
We're supposed to get Rick and Morty season 4 this November.
In Christ. Yeah, dude, when you sent me that meme, by the way, like I didn't want to sound like a dick, but I'm like, fucking summer, it's been 2 fucking years.
Well, that's why it says we still have to wait for summer.
Yeah, I was just like, I had to wait for 2 summers now. This is fucking bullshit. Like, that was the weird thing, is like it was confirmed last May. Originally, that they were coming back for season 4. What the fuck is taking them so long? Like, shit. Do they all only have to be written by the main creator? Like, is that the deal? Do you think?
Oh, apparently,
they went through like go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
I was gonna say apparently
mine's another little tangent with
it. Oh, I was gonna say apparently they went through like an entire series of negotiations before they could even agree on whether that they were gonna do a season 4. So
yeah, they kept holding out for better contracts and which I totally get. But I remember there being some douchebaggery stuff on I think Justin Roiland's end,
yeah,
as well. So I'm just glad we're getting it.
Yeah,
it's simple as that, really.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
It's really just a funny show.
So speaking of Adult Swim, did you see Genndy Tartakovsky is getting a new show?
God damn it, Josiah.
the guy who made Samurai Jack.
When he says that, do you have to go immediately and go look it up?
No. I was still going to expand on the Rick and Morty tangent.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done.
I'll just throw it in there and then you can cut it back in.
Just throw it in there anyway. It's funny to have him interrupt you and then me laugh. So.
Yeah. So Adult Swim partnered up with D&D, and they're actually making a Rick and Morty D&D adventure.
Like an actual tabletop game?
Yes.
Like, I didn't know if you meant an episode, which I'm down for, or an actual tabletop. So
no, a legitimate tabletop.
Sweet.
Is it like a full book, or is it just an adventure module? Like,
Yeah, it's apparently it's a full thing.
If it's a full book, we are buying that. And this will be the time. This will be the thing that will. This will be the thing that gets me to LARP. Rick and Morty LARPing.
I'm just gonna get drunk, sit around and laugh.
Dibs on not being Morty, by the way.
Make Anderson.
We'll make Anderson Morty. He's not here. He can't vote. He can't vote himself down.
Well, I mean, it's not like he could anyways. It's probably 3-1.
Yeah.
It's either that or Doofus Rick.
Which one? The one that eats shit, or the tall Morty?
Oh, the one that eats his own shit.
Oh, okay. All right. So, do we want to talk about what Josiah brought up?
Josiah, go for it.
It was just a quick...
Tell the listeners who this guy is, first of all.
Okay, so Genndy Tartakovsky is the guy who created Samurai Jack.
Yeah.
And the animated Clone Wars series that ran on Cartoon Network, the little 5-minute episodes. Powerpuff
Girls and...
Yeah, Powerpuff Girls. You know, pretty big name in the animation world. He's getting a new show that's going on Adult Swim. It's called Primal. And there's not a whole lot to it that I've seen, but at one point in the trailer, it kind of looks like it's set in prehistoric times, and there was a caveman that stabs a dinosaur to death with one of its own teeth. So I'm pretty down for it.
It's the new version of Captain Caveman.
I don't know. There wasn't any dialogue in the trailer. It was just little clips. And I mean, you can definitely see it's like his art style and everything.
Okay.
It looks really cool. I think it was like a 45-second teaser trailer.
All right. I'll have to take a look at it.
Yeah. So that looks pretty cool. Every time he makes something, I'm excited to check it out.
So Apple has the new Apple Arcade that's coming out. We talked about this a while back. But apparently there might be some trouble with that because they are trying to make certain games exclusive to just their platform. And they've recently been called into, recently certain things have been called into question with involving the government with them on how the App Store runs, because since the Apple iPhone and everything Apple is a closed, ecosystem, Apple controls all of it. They're basically being called into question of, are you a monopoly? Because their customers can't upload or load in their own programs. They can't do anything with their phones without violating Apple's terms of agreement. And that's completely different to the way that Android does things, because Android, while they do have the Google Store and Google likes to have people go there for their apps, you're not forced to, because you can actually upload whatever apps you want on your phone from other sources. There's nothing that prevents you from doing that. Other than the fact that, you could be downloading a virus to your phone or malware if you wanted to, if you were just not smart about it. But they don't prevent you from doing it. Much like with a PC, you can put any kind of program you want on your PC, but it's up to the user to make sure that to make sure that wherever they got that software is vetted. And I guess Apple has an issue with, since they're doing the Apple Arcade, things are kind of going the way of, well, you don't allow this service. You don't allow your apps from your phone be let on any other service. And if you're doing the same thing with the Apple Arcade with these games, you could be violating certain laws. So it's brought some of those things into question. Whether or not that'll actually happen is another thing, but it has brought up an interesting conversation amongst people asking, would this violate any laws? And is there something that has to be done about it? When Miles, you and you mentioned earlier when we were talking about like some of the antitrust kind of things. I could totally see people saying, this kind of violates that, so you can't do this.
Yeah, there's always somebody out there to, even if it's not actually in direct violation of anything.
Yeah.
Somebody out there will crusade to try to make it
a violation
of something.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the biggest proponent for this is the fact that since they're making some of these games available only on the Apple Arcade, and the Apple Arcade is only going to be available on Apple equipment, it prevents people from in other areas, like if you want to have it on your PC and stuff like that, it could prevent things like that from working on those, unless Apple makes it like iTunes. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see what that ends up turning into. I could definitely see Apple releasing Apple Arcade as a program that you can download to not only your Apple devices, but also to PCs in order to prevent anyone from, freaking out like that. But who knows? Because the argument they're making is with Stadia, Stadia is going to be available on PC, like every PC can play it. And Apple computers can play it. Like it can be played on almost any device, because it uses a portion of YouTube in order to run it. And it just connects your controller through Wi-Fi to your account, and that's how you're playing it. You're kind of playing on a screen within a screen kind of deal. So there's that. The other things that have happened in news this week is Sony has announced that they are partnering with Microsoft, and they are working together to collaborate on the I want to say this correctly, Azure, which is the Microsoft streaming service that they've been working on for a long time. Listeners, you might have heard us refer to it as X Stream. A lot of people have said that that's what the name was going to be, because originally it was supposed to be, you know, debuted on the Xbox, but now it's kind of moved over to being a service that is going to be available on pretty much everything, which I think is what they really were trying to get to. Microsoft was really trying to get to with Nintendo, by the way, with their cloud service eventually. But Azure is a cloud computing and AI cloud computing service that they're partnering now with Sony to collaborate on, giving both their companies access to more resources and to kind of step things up for themselves. A lot of people have been saying, oh, well, with, you know, Google taking on gaming and coming over to the console world with Stadia, they're going to be really pioneering a lot of the cloud streaming services. And Sony doesn't want to get left behind, neither does Microsoft. So them partnering together kind of makes sense, really, since they're on the console side of things right now. And this is a good thing for gamers, because since they're talking to each other and they're working with each other, this has a light of hope for what may come in the future. And right away, what you're going to see is really nothing, because it's not going to bring things right away. But we could see this eventually becoming something where we'll see an Xbox Game Pass similar to what we currently see on the Xbox, but different, with the exception of not having the current Xbox exclusives on it, like Sea of Thieves, that kind of thing, on right. PlayStation. We could see a Game Pass service coming to PlayStation that has older Xbox titles, like older Halo games, maybe, you know, Crackdown, Gears of War, those kind of things being able to be playable on the next PlayStation. And we could also see PlayStation Now coming over to Xbox as well with this service, and giving access to older PlayStation games and letting people who are on Xbox play some of the older titles from previous PlayStation generations. And that's a good thing if that's what this ends up lead to, because that could also lead to the eventuality of us getting cross compatibility. We don't have to worry about what version of game you buy for what system, regardless of, you know, where we get that third party game, we'll be able to play with each other on any system. And that's kind of the goal for gamers right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Just get it on what you prefer.
Yeah. And that is really the goal for us as gamers, is to be able to just play with each other on regardless of what system we're on. And the things that will keep these consoles, like if you think that's going to lead, like listeners, if you think that's going to lead to just one console together, I don't think that's going to happen ever, because I think Sony is going to continue to have, with the PS5, they're definitely going to have the first party titles that are going to make people want the PlayStation 5, just like the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 3, even the PlayStation 2. But Microsoft is learning that too, which is why they've been buying so many studios. Microsoft learned that, oh, you know what? We made the same mistake that Sony did during the PlayStation 3 generation. We focused on the hardware. We didn't focus on the software. And now that they've bought these studios, they're kind of realizing, you know what? The software is what's going to keep people buying our hardware. And that's what's going to bring
people over. At least we hope that's the case.
And yeah, I should say, at least we hope that's the case. It should be the case, because they really need to understand that that's how their consoles get sold. And that's what makes us buy them, is when you have these exclusives, that's what makes us want to get those consoles. I mean, you look at the PlayStation 4 versus the Xbox One, and it is night and day on what will bring you over to one console over another.
Yeah.
And it sure as shit isn't the hardware.
Yeah, it's pretty rare that I base my purchase off of, oh, well, I think it's going to look better on this.
Yeah, very rarely. In fact, right now, when it comes to third party titles for the majority of us, it's right now, it's like, oh, you know, if it's a shooter, I'll get on the Xbox, so I like the Xbox controller. If it's a third person adventure game, PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like it's really comes down to what controller feels better doing what at that point. And we don't really care about, oh, it's going to look better on this. The only time that's ever come into a question is Fallout 76, which we didn't even know about until after that already came out. But yeah, listeners, try to keep that in mind of, while this is a cool thing, it's not the first time these companies have worked together on anything.
Yeah.
And it's not really the first time that they've made money from one another ever, because I mean, the Xbox One has a Blu-ray drive in it from launch, and now has a UHD drive. Sony owns a lot of the patents to Blu-ray technology. So every time an Xbox is sold, guess who else is getting money? This isn't something new in the gaming industry where a company creates a patent on something and another company uses it for their console. And the same thing goes with the PlayStation. PlayStation has had things in there that have been co-pioneered with Microsoft or from Microsoft that, you know, they're using now. So they're making money from each other. They're both doing very well. That's why it's always made me laugh with the console wars. And when we say console wars, we're talking about the fanboy wars, because that's really all it is. So, yeah. But it could be eventually leading to one certain, like the thing I want to see is the thing that we all have a pipe dream about, which is one service under two roofs. Like, yeah. We want to see a single live service that unites both of them.
Not have to have fucking subscriptions to this, yeah, and that, and it, this and that, and this and that.
Yeah. If that means that, you know, like, let's say that they do that in someday and we have a live service on the Xbox and a live service on the PlayStation. And you have to pay a small premium to have it across both consoles. If you own both, and I'm saying that's just if you own both consoles. I would be okay with that. I'd be okay with paying a premium to have it on both consoles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I understand the whole idea of like, I don't want to pay for it more, but I could totally see that being a thing of, instead of me paying $60, you know, $60 a year, and currently I pay $50 a year on Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus respectively, it would be nicer to see. I'd rather see just it's $80 for both instead of me paying, you know, $90 to $100 or more per year for their services. And I would love to see that be, do you want to add PlayStation Now and Xbox Game Pass?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Do you want to add this, that, like kind of treating it like it's a premium service, almost like the way that cable's treated, only you can pick and choose what you want rather than cable's like, you have to have these 50 channels and then you can add the premium stuff and you're required to, because I don't see it being fair for people, you know, somebody who only buys an Xbox and they have to pay, you know, $80 that would give them the access to both.
Right.
It just wouldn't be fair. It'd be much more fair to say, you know, you just have an Xbox, $50 a year. You just have a PlayStation, $50 a year. You have both, $80. And you get this, and you get this. It's a pipe dream. It'll probably never happen. But yeah, thought that was interesting.
And yeah, not advertising it, but just throwing it out there in case anybody does use the Epic Store and wants to save some money. Apparently they're doing a big sale.
The Epic Mega Sale.
Yeah, until June 13th. Apparently there's some pretty good deals on there. You can get Metro Exodus Standard Edition for almost 50% off.
You have to have their launcher.
Apparently they're trying to undercut Steam's summer sale or whatever,
which is coming up very soon. They've already leaked the date.
Yeah, I think it kicks off like 2 days after this sale ends. I think.
Jesus Christ.
Or no, end of June. June 25th is the rumored start date.
I already got an email from Steam that apparently half of my wish list is on sale right now. So. I keep forgetting that, you know, we bitch about there not being games during the summer. There's just not new games.
Yeah, you can go back and play old games. It's a great time to catch up on games.
Yeah.
It used to be. The amount of games that we've been racking up over this past year and stuff that's still going to drop in the coming months. It's just not enough time.
Yeah. So if you're, you know, if you really are okay with having another launcher, listeners, we will never say don't get the Epic Store. Like, that'd just be ridiculous, because you're welcome to have as many launchers on your computer as you want. In fact, there are people who have a Bethesda launcher on there, and I fucking wouldn't recommend that to anyone. But it's there, and you can have it, and you can have as many launchers as you want. I have 6 on mine. It's fucking lunacy. Which brings me to Rage 2. So Rage 2 came out, listeners, and let me tell you a little bit about what I had to go through in order to get my Rage 2 on Steam. So I bought a code thinking that it was just going to be a Steam code, or I should say a more universal code like they used to do back in the day when you actually could activate it on Steam, or you could activate it on their personal website, that kind of stuff. Like 2K has done that a few times. But in this case, it was not. It was a code that I found out that it could only be used on the Bethesda launcher. And I told them if I had known that, I would have never even bothered. Because I don't want to have a 7th fucking launcher on my goddamn PC. I'm tired of the amount of fucking launchers I already have. We've gone through this. So I ended up having to cancel my order for the code and getting a gift card and then using that on Steam in order to get it on Steam itself. Now, the game has a problem with Steam. The game has a problem with anything other than the Bethesda launcher, apparently. And in a lot of cases, it will stop launching the game, or it won't load properly, or it will launch the game, but you'll get just to the splash page, which is what happened to me, and it will stop running. So as a PC gamer, I cannot recommend Rage 2 just on the fact that it is a buggy fucking mess for a PC. The fact that they came out with this game and it is in the state that it is, and it is having so many problems. Listeners, if you want to know what I'm talking about, they have over 1,600 reviews of it on Steam, and it is about 60%. It's considered mixed at 60%. No, that's a failure at 60%. I will tell you, there's probably some on there that are review bombing, but most of them aren't. Most of them are just saying, like, this game is just filled with bugs. It doesn't run very well on PC. What the fuck? And because of that, I can't recommend the game. I can't say it's a buy, borrow, or bin, because I wouldn't recommend buying it ever based off of that until they can fix it. And you have to hope that Bethesda is working on a fix for it. Now, I eventually got it to run, but I had to go through a lot of bullshit in order to get it to run. And that's just fucking lunacy to ask somebody who just bought a brand new game to do what I had to do. But if you are so inclined to get it and you are, you know, you don't want to listen to me, that's fine. But I will tell you, there are plenty of articles out there that tell you how to try and fix some of them. And most of those fixes don't work. I had to do a lot of them in order to get mine to work. And eventually I had to go into my game saves, delete my game, some of my game saves and my personal settings before it would actually launch the goddamn game again. And that was after playing it for a little over 2 hours. So I played it for a while, and then it froze, and then it freaked out and wouldn't play again. That's what happened. But aside from that, Miles, I'm going to let you give the final word on what you like, whether or not you'd recommend it on console. But based off of gameplay experience, yeah. I mean, gameplay's from what I played, gameplay is smooth. It plays like Doom.
Yeah, you know, I said from the beginning of when it started to look good due to their advertising team.
Oh, dude, their marketing team deserves a fucking award. They honey-dicked us.
That it reminds me of Bulletstorm to a degree.
Yeah, cheesy just because
of the fast-paced, you know, yeah, the cheesy dialogue, the fast-paced action, the kind of combos you can kind of do, which I'm never fantastic about because I'm more of a stealth player than I am, you know, run and gun.
Yeah,
but I can still enjoy it. However, I was already running into several visual audio glitches, you know, NPCs being duplicated or not being there at all. It's stuff like that. It becomes really concerning because we've seen that in games a lot this past year, just little bits and pieces like that. And it just seems to kind of cascade into worse issues.
Yeah, what's really funny is you can't even blame the creation engine on this one.
Right. So while I was having a little bit of fun with it, I stopped playing it just because I hope that eventually those glitches get taken care of, because I'd really hate to play through yet another broken game. But I would personally say wait. I can't even say buy, borrow, bin at this point. I just say wait, you know, and see if it gets fixed. Unfortunately, like a lot of our other games, you know, it doesn't look bad Doesn't look as good as they showed it off, in my opinion. Not on the Xbox One X.
No, it looks pretty decent on PC. And I will say to address that, the downside is they're still using the same technology that they used for the first Rage, the way that their textures are built. And it runs, yeah. I think they said it runs at a pretty solid 60
frames per second. And even with them not being super... Yeah, and even with them not being super high res, there is a decent amount of pop in, especially when driving. It's not immersion breaking terribly, but it's disappointing to see. I personally wish I had waited on buying it, but like we said, their advertising team did a hell of a job with it. So
they made it serious. They seriously made it very appealing looking. That's for sure. But yeah, okay. So the verdict for both PC and console are wait. Yeah, just wait for them to fix it.
Yeah.
Don't put your money into it yet. I'm sure it'll probably go on sale at some point this summer. Yeah,
work on your backlog, focus on some indies.
And what's really funny is the fact that like some people are saying, oh, well, it's getting bad reviews. I'm like, yeah, like some of the review statements are justified. Like it's a very big open world of nothing. There's some side activities you can find and discover, and it's fun to explore. But when you're exploring and you're finding a whole lot of nothing and less encounters, it starts to feel like Red Dead Redemption, only less lived in. And there's a lot of nothingness in between. Yeah. And it feels like that, even though they said that, you know, they said originally vehicles would be taking kind of a back seat compared to the first game, because the first game, they got a lot of crap for having too much emphasis on the vehicle combat, which I would agree with. I felt like the first game was just kind of meh in a lot of ways, especially for the vehicle portions. But they made this huge open world that's designed for vehicles. Like it feels like taking down those the convoy combat. It seems like there's supposed to be a lot more of that in the game than what's actually in there. So I don't know what the deal was. Did they start out trying to make Mad Max and then realize they needed to tone that back, and they started to focus more on like Doom scenarios? But
no, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one more thing I wanted to touch on for Rage 2 is the level up system.
So common.
Everything has some sort of upgrade system attached to it, which is just unnecessary.
Yeah.
And the fact that the items that more or less heal you, the Feltrite crystals, are also your currency for upgrading some of your abilities and whatnot. I'm like, it's just really convoluted for no fucking
reason. Well, there's like three or four different fucking upgrade currencies.
There's
some of them take money. Some of them take
for your weapons.
The Filtrite. Other things take parts and junk.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, guys? You couldn't think of one thing to use to upgrade everything. Like even Days Gone, even though it has a lot to upgrade, just goes by skill points.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with skill points
and cash.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's just really convoluted for no reason. You know, everything has a fucking upgrade system. Your gadgets, your weapons, your abilities, your skill level, your vehicle, you fucking name it. It's just unnecessary. And we've noticed this with Days Gone to a degree as well. Not the upgrade system, but the fact that we've had two games now that are trying to rethink the wheel when it comes to the RPG system or, you know, weapon allotment. The shit's been the same for a long time because it fucking works.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with shit that works just fine. You're not going to make some, you're not going to make some fucking revelation of, oh, well, we've made gaming even more fun and easy, you know, with this weapon system. Like, no, you didn't. You made it more convoluted and a pain in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so like one of the good things though, listeners, I will say with Rage 2 is its combat and gameplay. Like it's smooth. It's one of the best shooters that I've seen this year. Absolutely, and it is absolutely fun to play. Like once you engage in combat, that is a blast. That is great.
Yeah.
All it did was make me think, like, man, Doom Eternal's better be kick ass. But at the same time, because of the problems that I've had on with Rage 2 and the amount of bugs that I've had on PC, I will not be buying Doom on PC ever. I will have to go to console with that one because I can't trust any Bethesda products anymore, which is a shame.
Yeah,
really is. So, like we said, listeners, gameplay is satisfying, but the open world could use a little work. And because of the bugs, though, we say wait until it comes, wait until it's fixed. And they've had a few more patches. They've already had one patch on the consoles. PC's still waiting for the patch for theirs. And by the way, listeners, the problem on the PC is prevalent on both AMD and NVIDIA. So that should tell you that that's not very well optimized. Anyways, I think that's all I have for this week.
I feel like we're forgetting something.
I know we're probably.
I guess we could do a little touch up with For the King since I only had like a day on it last week.
Oh yeah, it's kind of buggy too.
So far I haven't had. I mean, granted, I did the base campaign and I was playing solo, but I didn't really have any issues after sending out that email to their game director. You know, it sounds like they have a fix in the works for the few glitches that the game's having. But for such a lazy game, I feel like myself and Anderson have had a great time fucking around on there for a simple, slow, turn-based game.
Listeners, you should know when he says lazy game, he's not referring to the fact that the game was made lazily. He's referring to the fact that you can be lazy and play it.
Yeah.
I just feel like some people might take that the wrong way.
Yeah, you're just controlling a turn-based combat character.
Yeah,
on a turn-based board.
So, yeah, it's fun. I definitely think that you end up with more bugs with a group of people when you're doing the co-op than when you do just solo. I think solo it doesn't have those problems. I think the co-op is where it gets kind of funky.
And it crashed out on Anderson several times. So I think internet connection also does play
that's true.
A factor into it.
We even had the game lock up on us when we were playing together.
Yeah. Although, so, I mean, I would definitely say it's totally worth the $20 if you can still get it for the 20.
Yeah, I mean, it's a $20 game, and it definitely, you know, it's definitely seems like it's worth. I've played partial of two campaigns, and they were both pretty fun. One of them, the water one, is a little ludicrous on time. Yeah. Wanting you to accomplish everything. I felt like, you know, we need to go to the forest and kill boars until we're like level 30 to take on the next thing. We ain't got that kind of time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all we have for you this time around, listeners. I mean, we've played a lot of Days Gone. So I can tell you one thing I can tell you, listeners, it is if you're playing Days Gone and you are struggling with finishing the game or getting through parts, you know, slogging through it, just try to get through the story. Don't worry about anything else. And you'll be fine. But if you are enjoying it and you are worried about trying to take on the hordes, taking the hordes on when you're going through the regular campaign is the best thing you can do. And there are three hordes that are locked behind story missions that I haven't even done yet, but I have killed a majority of the hordes. And because of that, I have unlocked some pretty serious shit. And very helpful weapons. So I highly recommend that, especially if you just want to go up until you get, just do it until you get the auto shotgun. That thing is just amazing.
Yeah, I was a little jealous.
Yeah, it's.
I was like, man, I should have stayed behind to kill hordes.
It is one of the greatest crowd control weapons I've ever used in a game. It is extremely satisfying. And I just got the MG55, which is another very satisfying crowd control weapon, and it is designed for taking on the massive hordes that you do. Aside from that, don't get an MG or an MG in the rest of the game or like anywhere else in the game because the rest of them are shit. Like their accuracy is awful. When it gives you the circle, it's going to shoot all around that circle. Anyways, that's all we got for you. And unless Josiah has anything to bring up.
I got nothing this week. Next week is the first Ace Combat DLC playing, so I'll be able to talk about that, but that doesn't drop till Wednesday. So
okay. Did you get to go see Detective Pikachu, by the way?
Oh, yeah, dude, it was awesome. You guys really undersold that movie.
Well, it's probably a good thing.
Like, as I guess I could say lifelong Pokemon fan. Yeah. Since, I mean, the games came out when I was 10.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was awesome. There was lots of little references to the games and, even the cartoon. I mean, for fuck's sake, he sings the theme song at one point. So
that was really funny.
Yeah, it was good. I'd be excited to see more. What you guys told me was totally true. Didn't even need Ryan Reynolds on this project.
Yep.
He was great, but the movie was good enough to stand on its own without him.
Yeah, it proves that an absolute Pokemon movie could take place.
Yeah, and I agree with Anderson. This is also more proof that you can do anime movies properly, and no one wanted to.
Yep.
So I'd be down to see more. I mean, like, the big thing that I really appreciated at the end was they got the original comic artist to draw the characters, like, in his own style.
Yeah.
On the credits.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. Like, I feel like a lot of people were like, oh, look, yeah, my favorite Pokemon was in it. But, I mean, they go really deep into the...
There's great fan service.
Yeah, it was a lot of good fan service.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you liked it. Yeah, I was curious about that, if you had actually gotten to go see it. Listeners, next week we will have a review for John Wick 3. None of us are getting to see it before the podcast. Sorry. I will be going to see it tomorrow on Saturday.
I will be seeing it tomorrow at some point as well, so...
So that's all we have for you, listeners. Thank you for listening to us. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook. Don't follow us on Twitter. We recommend getting rid of your Twitter account. Follow us on podbean.com. If you don't like iTunes, if you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please tell your friends about us. It's pretty much the only way we get around. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Miles.
Keep on geeking on. We're out.
When I was a child, everybody smiled. Nobody knows me at all. Very late at night and in the morning light. Nobody knows me at all. I got lots of friends, yes, but then again, nobody knows me at all. Kids and a wife, it's a beautiful life. Nobody knows me at all. And oh, when the lights are low, nobody knows me at all. I know how you feel, no secrets to reveal. Nobody knows me at all. Morning light, nobody knows me at all. Nobody knows me, nobody knows me, nobody knows me at all.